town you never heard of.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
Welcome back to Common Folk.
Let's go. Podcast for the people, by the people.
That was pretty good introduction.
You always say that.
No, I don't.
Not always.
Sometimes yeah. You're like you're pretty very lame.
Yeah, you're pretty critical. I'll give you that.
Jeez. Yeah. I actually thought you were going to start saying it even sooner when the music was playing. You were just antsy.
Doing the overlay.
Antsy?
Yeah, it just seemed like you were ready to get the show on the road. Mm-hmm. Or do you got a lot of shit to do today?
I always have a lot of shit to do.
I figured that was going to be the response.
Yeah, yeah.
Andy's in long sleeve, like it's fall or something, guys. It's 90 degrees. Supposed to be 90 degrees in Nebraska.
It was cool this morning. Got up early.
No, I know. Yeah. It was. But, like, can you believe that?
It's pretty wild.
That's insane.
Yeah. Yep. We have this last.
Is your pool still open?
Technically, yes.
But it would be freezing?
It would. Yeah, it's cold. It's cold water.
So, like, if one of the kids are bad, you're just going to line them up and push them in?
That'd be pretty funny.
You should.
Yeah. Threaten up. We're going to go swimming. Like, that's the punishment.
Yeah. That'd be a punishment for this guy over here. You hate cold water.
I do. Yeah. I hate a lot of cold things.
You seem like a guy, though, that would be on board with the cold plunge, you know. Need to up my testosterone.
My gosh.
Need to wake up.
Negative.
With, you know, you're being healthier. You wouldn't do that?
I mean, I've heard about those things, but that would be one of the last things on my list.
You don't want to touch that one. Yeah.
No.
I would totally do that, would you?
Yeah. This time of year last year, I did a few laps and stuff, you know.
In the cold pool?
Yeah, in the mornings, just to kind of wake up and get going.
Yeah, you should do that.
Yeah. No, you got to be in the right mindset.
Oh, okay.
It sucks.
Yeah. Not for me. No,
oh my gosh. Well, does everybody have a busy weekend or what?
I don't think I actually have too much going on this weekend.
Okay. Are you doing any more games?
Yep. So we did Thursday night football last night, Friday tonight. And then Kimber has a big old volleyball tournament, so I can't blow that. I can't.
Oh, so you got to go to Sam's.
Yeah, and I got quite the order here because Kimber's very particular on everything.
Yeah.
So I got to get. Oh, my God.
You already forgot. Yeah. Andy.
No. It's like the 8-ounce Hawaiian Punch blue bottles.
Okay.
With these certain type of cookies. It's going to be the snack. So, yeah.
What sport is it?
Volleyball.
Volleyball.
Hey, and they're doing good.
They're allowed to have snacks in the volleyball gym?
Normally, allowed? It's like you have to bring snacks. Everybody has to bring snacks.
But they got
to
go in the hallway. Isn't that always the rule?
I don't know.
God, the gym floor. It's like...
I don't know.
Has this coating on it. I feel like basketball and volleyball teams get weird. Ashley doesn't?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's
never,
a thing.
I went to two games last year, and I haven't gotten to any yet this year.
So okay.
I think tomorrow's... I'm
You're go. You I'm have going. To go.
I have to.
Yeah. Yes. You'll like it. Talking about mindset, you gotta get your head in the right spot.
I didn't realize they still did the snacks and drinks and all that. Like I figured, obviously our kids have been out of that for a little while, but I figured at this point, people would be like, "No way, you can't, you can't bringing stuff in and sharing stuff and blah blah blah."
Right. Well, I think they do prefer, or especially at the school, it has to be like prepackaged. It's like, no, it has to be ultra processed and individually packaged, and it has to be the worst shit possible for them. We don't want cookies from grandma or anything like that.
Nothing like organic flour.
No, we don't
use
that.
Can't be made. Can't be homemade. Yeah.
Can't be homemade. Yeah. Nope. The packaged cookies or whatever the hell I'm supposed to get here.
Yeah, right.
It's in a text message. I'll find it.
You'll figure it out.
I'll get it right.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I know what Ben's going to do. He's going to finally unpack from his elk hunt.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done some of it, but it's been like now, a week?
Yeah.
And there's still stuff on the kitchen
almost
table?
A week,
is it almost like a 1.5 times? Like, okay, so if it's a 4-day trip, it's going to take 1.5 times 4.
Oh, that's totally his style.
Yeah.
Well, you go and do things, and then you're like, and then you're done.
Yeah.
You know, like, you need a little break from it for a little while.
Yeah. And, like, I always have this little suitcase, you know, that you can put like three different outfits in.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going anywhere. You know, when you get back from Chicago or wherever, you know, that stuff's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's actually kind of nice just stuffed in this little, you know, suitcase in the corner there.
I mean, if people haven't heard, like I'm somewhat organized. So stuff just like being out and not in a place. It's been fine, but like it's been on one counter. Still there 5 days like later. I like moved it to the kitchen table. Like
you said, like one of the most ultimate trigger words ever. It's fine.
Yeah,
over there.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
I mean, you know, the sleeping bag has been washed. It's still in the same spot
so
4 days later.
I don't think we even told people what we're talking about.
I said your elk hunt you haven't unpacked from.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think you need to talk about it a little bit more too.
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. I think there's, this was my first experience, you know, from beginning to end. There's, like any of our episodes, you know, this isn't going to be for everyone. If you're interested in, you know, hunting, backpacking, mountain hunting, bow hunting, preparation, all those kinds of things, mm-hmm. this will probably be entertaining for you. If not, then it's cool. But we're going to cover that today is kind of the thing.
Well, just the experience alone, I find it interesting because you guys were kind of out on your own, right? Up on a mountain?
Yeah. So, overall, so what it is, and you know, some folks, I've found that there's a lot more folks involved in this than I realized.
Mm.
You know, once you go do something like this, then people kind of start coming out of the woodwork like, oh yeah, we do that, oh this is what we've done, you know, blah blah blah. But basically elk hunt in the mountains of Colorado, there's lots of different places you can do it, but you get like a specific area that you can go, a unit, you mm-hmm. know, they call it, that your tag is for, and you go out there and you can hunt it however you want.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that we preferred to and decided to was to build a pack for 5 to 6 days and then just head into the mountains on foot and then have options.
Yeah.
So at that point, you may get out of ways. You may find an area that you really like and you're, you know, 4 or 5 hours from the truck
mm-hmm.
and you want to stay there. So you can hit it that night or you can hit it that morning or whatever. So we had that option rather than having to go back and forth every day. So the idea was to go out there for a week,
mm-hmm.
You know, hunt elk. And try to learn their behaviors and figure out how we can get one. It was myself and my brother-in-law, which my brother-in-law has done this once before in Wyoming, I believe, and then went back to and that was archery. Went back to Wyoming with a rifle and shot a bull, and then so this would technically be his third elk hunt, but first one in Colorado with archery.
The old boomstick makes it a lot easier.
No doubt.
That's more my speed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think the bow would be so hard.
So the thing about Colorado, and I just learned all this year, and a lot of it, you know, within the last couple of months, but, and I may have some of this wrong. So if someone's listening to this that knows, you know, let us know. But elk hunting in Colorado, it starts in September, and it's 2 weeks. Well, it's all of September is archery, but the third week of September is muzzleloader. So that mixes in. We went the 4th week in September. You don't know when the rut's going to be. You don't know what the temperature's going to be like. You don't know if there's going to be snow and it's going to be moving the animals or whatever. So you're taking a kind of an educated guess on when you're going to go. Obviously, you're traveling to Colorado. I mean, we had over 10-hour drive, so you can't just like pick up and be like, oh yeah, we're going. So, you know, you plan that week. We planned that last week. It ended up being okay. I think if you listen to some of the reports that are coming out now, the rut this year was pretty weak and we can kind of tell that's how it was. But, we were in full on archery season. And then after September, I think starts, a rifle season and they have like a week, they have like four different, like separate weeks that you can apply for or
little
whatever.
Shorter seasons with the rifle.
Yeah. And I think that's when a lot of people get them, but you obviously start getting into a lot colder time of the year, a lot more snow, those kinds of things. So it's a different style of hunt. What's cool about September and the archery is that you've got a little bit more mild weather.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, 50s during the day, most days, down to 30, maybe a little bit below at night. So you don't have to have you know, these zero or negative degree sleeping bags and things like that,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that would make it a lot easier. And that also, for me, being cold, like when your feet get cold, that sucks all the fun out of it.
For
like,
sure.
Even during deer season, there's some, you know, you do muzzle loader in Nebraska in December, like forget about it. You better be, you know, if you want to do it and have fun.
And even our hunt there, you know, I had these really nice mountain hiking boots, 400 or 500 gram or however they measure them, insulation.
Mm-hmm.
And there was plenty of mornings where my toes were cold.
Yeah,
I mean, as cold as they would come.
Yeah,
there's
nothing you can do. And
yeah.
I years ago bought a, I was tired of it being cold, like in December, late November. So I overdid it and bought a big old, you know, bulky one.
Mm-hmm.
And had these big old bulky socks, and my toes are still getting cold. So now I just say hell with it, and I cheat those hand warmers.
Yeah.
You know, you break those little packs.
Yep.
They make them so you can stick them to your socks.
Okay,
so that's what I do. I always have those on under my toes.
So we had one morning that we woke up, had about an inch of snow on the ground, and we went out hiking through the snow. It was snowing as we're hiking.
Mm-hmm.
We made our way a couple hours in until it was time for breakfast. And I did that. I stopped and put those things in the end of my boots because it was too cold, man. I couldn't take it.
Hot toes or whatever they're called.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when we were talking about stuff that he needed to pack out. And I'm like, I think we should order some of these, you know, like why not just have them?
But, yeah. And it was just those basic, you know, hand warmers, but you know, in those boots. So you're hiking, you know, 10, 12 hours a day. You've obviously got stops and lunches and things like that in them, but you need to have a really comfortable boot, and you need to have something that's going to not cause you any pain and trouble, which means it's got to fit really well.
Yep.
So even just trying to stuff those little warmers down there at the end of your toes is kind of tough. Like that makes things tight.
I bet.
You know, because your boot should fit good, you know, prior to. So there was a lot of things like that. But yeah, you can't. You know, we were talking about like insulated boots, and you're talking about like really thick ones and thick socks and things like that. When you're out there in the mountains on those hunts, it's not like we're going, you know, down the road here to go whitetail hunting, and something goes wrong and I've got a 5-minute walk back to the truck or to the house.
Right. Yeah. It's a cumbersome thing.
Yeah. You're out in the middle of nowhere. You're hours away from your vehicle, you know, for the most part, and we'll get into this, but your only connection is, you know, GPS on one of these Garmin devices or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you got to be prepped and you got to be ready. You have to find that balance, like on boots, between just warm enough and not too warm.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's a problem too.
Yeah. It has to work all week and you can't be walking around all day with sweaty feet.
Mm-hmm.
That just isn't going to work.
Well, yeah, you'd be sweaty during the day, and then all of a sudden it's going to drop down to, you know, 30 degrees, 28 degrees, and here you are with wet feet.
Yeah.
No thanks.
And not only that, you're walking so much and you're putting so much strain on your feet that, you know, you get that if you have moisture in there, that's just going to cause a lot of damage.
Yeah, that was, that's what they always said in, you know, military stuff, like your Vietnam stories. Like, that was the most important thing. Keep your feet dry.
Well, you said that before you left. You're like, if my feet get wet, man, this is going
to
be bad.
And I knew that would be worst case scenario would be to have wet boots.
Yeah.
Boots. Yeah.
I mean, anything else, just about anything else you could kind of deal with. But if you had wet boots, it's going to stop you in your tracks.
Yep. Yeah, you were probably told that or prepared for that. So
yeah, I was kind of picking up on that from different things, you know, people were telling me. But I just knew in general from different things that I've done in life. Like, I mean, remember when we went to the one box deal?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of walking.
So we did that. I was wearing my so for the folks that don't know, the one box in, Broken Bow? Fundraising charity event that we went to last year and did a pheasant hunt in and some shooting and stuff like that. We got out there that day. I was wearing my pheasant boots, my field boots.
Yeah.
And remember where we first went? We went in that marsh.
Oh, I know. God.
Dude, and it was up to our knees.
I know.
But I was like, at that point, I was like, there's nothing I can do. We have to go.
Yeah.
So we go in there. I've got these ankle-high boots.
Mm-hmm.
Completely full of water. That was our first stop that day.
Oh, God.
That's a reed. Stabbed me in my left eye.
That's right.
That,
I
like,
forgot about
ruined
that.
Ruined my freaking day. Like, I've never been, you know, you
that's
poke
right.
your eye out or something like that.
Yep.
That really got me, and I was I wasn't right the rest of the day.
Yeah.
That sucked.
So from a standpoint of wet boots, we hunted all day like that. We started the day literally walking
in
knee-deep water.
Yeah.
So then we hunted all day with completely wet boots, and that part was a nightmare.
It was. One of our guides is like, well, I got some Gore-Tex pants. I'm like, yeah, give them to me. Because I wasn't I wasn't ready to be walking through a marsh. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I'm thinking like, oh, there's going to be some nice, you know, half-cut Milo fields here that we're going to be walking down some rows.
No.
No, not at all.
I mean, but I even, I've even said that with the 50-mile march. You know, gosh, if it rains, that will be the worst walking with wet feet. So there's something about it. But then obviously your elevation, your hiking constant uphill, downhill, that would be worse.
Hey, there's just there's a lot of movement, a lot of strain, a lot of stress put on your feet and on your boots. So that's, I mean, that's just a critical piece.
Did you do some walking, some hiking to get yourself in shape, or you just hit the treadmill?
No treadmill. Walked around, you know, just around here, around the neighborhood down at the lake. You know, obviously there's big hills and stuff. I wore those boots.
Oh, really?
Because they were brand new. I bought them this year.
That was a good idea.
I wore those on the walk. The brand is Crispy. So anybody who's interested in getting into some of this kind of thing, or if you looked at any of this stuff, or you're wondering what, you know, maybe you're curious of what would work, you're in between things. I got the Crispy boots. They're highly regarded, and they lived up to their reputation. I mean, they were out of the box, comfortable. Mm-hmm. They didn't really have a break in. They did not. We like I said, we hiked that whole day in snow. We hiked a full day in rain. My feet did not get wet. They did not leak. Yeah, they were solid. Good grip, strong. One of the things I learned about these boots is that the strength of the sole, like how much the sole will bend, is how these things are measured.
Okay,
like 1 through 5.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be mountain hiking, you're going to have something that's stiffer because you're walking over all these rocks and you know, all these inclines and sides and all these kinds of things.
Yep.
When I first put them on at the store, the guy was talking to me about this. I was like, God dang, these things are stiff. And he's like, believe me, that you're going to want this.
Yeah.
And I was just at the point where I was like, I'm trusting what people are telling me because I've never experienced this. And he was 100% right.
Yeah.
I mean, I did not get fatigued.
I try to live my life that way. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So like, even when I go to a restaurant, well, what do you think I should eat?
Right.
Tell me.
Yeah.
Like, help me out here. I've never
help
been here before.
A man out. So do you want to go day by day, or what do you think you're going to?
Well, I think we start with, so folks can understand, like, preparation.
Okay.
And, you know, you guys feel free to.
Like a 5-day pack. Like, how much food did you guys pack? Like eggs, bacon?
Yeah. So,
eggs and bacon.
I wish.
Yeah. Right.
So
you should see the shit he was eating.
Food is a huge thing, obviously. I mean, you have to, the amount of calories that you're expending every day.
How much do you think you burn? Like 3,000?
We both had Garmin watches, you know, and it's tracking a lot of this, and this stuff's pretty close. But we were anywhere from 3,000 to 4,000 a day. It was probably closer to 3,500 was the
crazy
number. But,
and that's not like walking around, you know, the lake. You guys are and down a mountain.
Yeah. I underprepared for the amount of calories that I needed.
Mm.
So when I did the math, the food that I brought was about 2,400 calories a day is what I brought.
Like REM type stuff or what?
It was freeze-dried meals.
Okay.
Yeah. So those things, you know, those mountain meals or whatever. So I packed, you know, enough for a breakfast, a lunch, and a dinner every day, and then like protein bars, meat sticks. I had the Sandhill Slims meat sticks.
Saw that.
Up on the mountain, those were coming in clutch. Just little different packaged kind of snack things that I could fit in during the day if I was hungry, if I needed a quick bite or whatever. But my main source of calories and food was these freeze dried meals. I got a small Jetboil setup. So, you know, about the size of your coffee cup. Mm-hmm. Everything kind of fits inside that.
Yep.
Then you open it up. Within a minute, you've got boiling water. Those go in that pack. You seal that pack up. It sits for 10 minutes, and then you've got a warm meal that's all hydrated. And it literally, like, they've come so far with these things. Like, it tastes like you made it
at home. A couple of them weren't bad. Like, he tried them before he left to make sure. I mean, you got to make sure your stomach's going to be somewhat okay and you're not, I don't know, you know, sharting in your pants or anything.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you don't know how you're going to react to this kind of stuff. Because it's,
I mean, we tried a couple at home and I was like, damn, okay, these aren't good. Horrible.
I just for the hell of it, you know, tried to watch what you eat.
Yeah.
Had a Reese's, you know, Reese's makes everything now. It's not just peanut butter cups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was one of their protein bars and it looked like a freaking brick.
Yeah.
Like just a tan brick.
Yeah.
And it ate that way too, a texture of what I would assume a brick.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good. It was okay. Peanut butter. It was okay. But
yeah. So what's the brand of that food? So in case people were wondering that what we're talking about is decent. Do you remember?
Man, I wish I had it in front of me. I'd have to look. I know one of them. I got two of them. I think one of them was called Mountain House. And I can't remember what the other one was.
But so, they are better than like the military.
So like a lot of things like MREs. Cliff Bars, you'd be comparable to like that.
Oh, I'm talking about the freeze-dried meals. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think like with bars and stuff, it's just like, you know, pick whichever one is your favorite. Mm. I mean, the whole goal here is to have as light a weight that's going to pack as much of a punch as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because your pack is big.
So, I was going to say, so a 5-day pack, 5 times 3. So you had 15 meals in there?
Well, I had, for sure. I had just over that because I packed for 6 days.
Okay.
So I had that many bags of freeze-dried food. So everything in my pack was separated in its own bag in the pack.
Yeah.
So in that bag was just those freeze-dried meals. And then I had a separate bag that was just all the snacks, the meat sticks, the protein bars, you know, whatever. I had one guy who was a local guy who lives by me. He's an elk hunter, and I was chatting with him. I was like, what are some things that you think I need to think about that a lot of people don't think about I should bring? He goes, dude, number one, candy. Bring candy.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, you get up there, you're going to start craving that. You have a couple. It satisfies that urge.
Yep.
He was 100% right.
Mm-hmm.
So like M&M's, peanut M&M's, what are you talking about?
I brought Skittles. I brought some like little like chewy...
Nerd things.
Yeah, nerds. Yeah. I mean, it was just little things like that. I would eat lunch or dinner, usually in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And right after that, I'd have a few of those. It was kind of like a little dessert. But I think it was just your body craving that energy.
Yeah. Quick shot of sugar.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And it totally worked.
I bet.
On the outside of my pack, because it's kind of cumbersome to get into your pack, because these things are packed tight.
Right.
So on the outside of it, where on one of the outer zippers in compartments, that's where I kept some of these quick snacks and that candy.
I was gonna say, so you had like the you could have rigged it up where you had the nerd's rope, you know, just continuously just pull it out.
That's what he had, but they were in little chews. So
those are so freaking.
They
good.
Are so good. Oh my god!
The food thing is so critical. I mean, I'm glad that you brought that up. If anybody's looking at doing this, plan that out well.
Yeah.
My buddy that I went with, he planned his. If I remember correctly, he had. So he planned. Much smarter as far as calories go. He
you've done it before.
At home. Yeah. And at home, he tracks his daily calories and these kinds of things. So he kind of knew, like, I'm going to burn X amount more. So he had his days in individual, like, Ziploc bags. He had every day in that.
Okay.
And he had very few of the freeze-dried meals. His was more, he was bringing stuff that he had made.
Like trail mix ready. Type stuff.
Stuff like nuts. That. He had a lot of bagels because they would keep with just like peanut butter and honey or something like that. You know, it's just in a little package, one-time use package you'd smear on there, you know.
Yeah, this was it, right? Mountain House?
Yeah, that was one of them. Huh. Yeah.
They got biscuits and gravy in a bag.
Cool.
Oh, they had so many good things.
Yeah.
The breakfast stuff that I got from them was like a granola and blueberry and almond mix.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, we had that last night. We had an extra.
the one that I had in the mountain as opposed to the one last night was you would put like 3/4 of a cup of water in there and just stir it around and it would make milk.
There you go.
And it was you could have it cold or you could have it warm, however you wanted, but that would just be like it was almost like a cereal, like a really good.
Yeah.
So, meals. And then obviously from those meals, you know, you're going to have a fair amount of trash. I brought a 2-gallon.
Wasn't that the other brand?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Backpackers.
Backpackers Pantry.
Backpackers Pantry.
Yep.
And Mountain House.
I brought a 2-gallon Ziploc bag, and that's where I would put all my trash in. So you'd have those bags left afterwards, and I'd just roll them up and put them in there. By the time we got done with a whole week, that 2-gallon Ziploc bag was half full. So that was how much trash I took out with me. But obviously, you know, you're mountain hunting. We're outdoors people. We're conservationists. Yeah. You're not going to throw that stuff on the ground. You're not going to leave it there.
No, of course not. Yeah.
I think the whole time we were up there, I remember seeing 2 tin cans that I found that were used that somebody had left. I mean, outside of that, you know, people were doing pretty good of taking care of their mess. But you got to plan for that. You got to get that stuff out of there. In conjunction with the food is the water. So with all those freeze-dried meals, I mean, yeah, you could probably open them up and just crunch on them if you want to. That's going to be tough, but you have to have the water.
Mm-hmm.
And you're using a cup of water every time.
Water is heavy, too.
It's heavy. It's very heavy. And it's at least for us, it was scarce, and it sounds like it has been for a few years.
But you didn't know that going into it. You guys had planned to be by a creek.
Yeah, so there was a lot of planning with, you know, Onyx and all these kinds of apps, like in looking at everything where we were going.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see the waterways. So we were trying to plan camping sites and hike hunting areas around some of these waterways. Everyone we went to was dry.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I hiked up there with 3 of these, which are 32-ounce water bottles.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I had. So I would use, you know, about a quarter of this every meal, and then I would have to have it for what I was drinking as well.
Yeah.
So this goes pretty quick. I mean, you'd run through these pretty fast.
No. Right, and if you had a creek, you would be having more water, right? Like, you guys were underwatered.
Yeah, so you obviously have to prepare to filter water. So I brought a water filtration system, which was very lightweight. It's just a bottle that's a bag that scrunches up. It's got a filter on it. You fill it up and you squeeze the water out and it's filtered.
Mm-hmm.
So that was ready. We only found water one day and we were able to use that and replenish our stuff. But without that, that ends your hunt.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, you need water first and foremost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it rained, did you guys try to collect the water?
We talked about it, but we were never sitting anywhere long enough. Plus, that's another thing to talk about. We'll get into that. But trying to keep your stuff dry is a huge deal. But anyway, the water thing, like when I'm at home, I'll probably drink 3 of these combined with, you know, my coffee, my morning drink, all the other things that I'm doing, right?
Yep.
Up there, I had to ration to where I was having maybe 1 of these a day. That's how much water I was drinking.
Yeah, and you're stressed. Your body's stressed.
Yeah,
and you haven't even said what was on your back. It was like 50 pounds.
So the pack fully loaded, I think, weighed in at like 45 without water.
I mean,
so we put water in it.
That's crazy.
And you've also, most guys are wearing some kind of chest rig because you need your binoculars, you need your rangefinder.
Your bow, your arrows.
My buddy, my buddy had bear spray on his chest rig. I had my pistol on my chest rig. So all those things that come along with that, that's another 5-8 pounds, you know, whatever. So you're definitely walking around with 50 pounds for sure. Mm-hmm. Anyone who listens to this knows I'm on the volunteer fire department. We wear, you know, the air packs when we have fires or whatever else is going on. I used to think those were heavy. When I hiked with this pack for 5 days, we had a call yesterday, day before yesterday, that car wreck, and the car was supposedly smoking. So to the scene, you know, we put our packs on, jump out of the fire truck. I strapped that thing down. I started walking down the road. I was like, I don't even feel like I got anything on my back.
I think everything's kind of easier after you
It's got to be.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, how much does that weigh? The rig at the fire department?
I can't remember. I think they're like 30, 35
maybe. Oh, yeah, then
maybe.
That would be nothing.
Yeah. Something like that with everything. But anyway, so water and food, huge. You have to plan big time for that.
But I mean, did that freak you out thinking we may have to stop? I've never asked you this. Like, some of these questions are coming to mind. Like, we may have to stop if we don't find water.
So what our plan always was that if worst come to worst, we're going to hike back to the truck. And worst case scenario, it's 6 hours back to the truck or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, depending
stay
on
within
how,
that bubble.
How far we were out. Yeah.
That radius to where worst comes to worst, we got 6 hours to get back to the truck.
Yep. Yep.
That's pretty
unless we knew we were camping by water, then we would have been.
Or we knew there's a good bull over there.
Right. Yeah, that made me think of something else when you were saying that.
Well, I was going to say, of course, right before he left was when those two young gentlemen died.
Oh, yeah, they found
them. So that completely freaked me out. And, you know, finding out it was lightning and then barely getting to talk to him and heard it was bad weather. It was just like, holy crap. I mean, I guess you don't even think about, I never thought that someone could get, you know, struck by lightning.
Happens a lot.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, and so, those pop-up storms in the mountains, I mean, are real. A daily occurrence.
Yeah. Well, and you're so high, you're elevated, you know, and yeah, it's pretty wild. Like when the lottery gets kind of high, you know, and everybody starts buying tickets, the weird stats, like you have a better chance of getting struck by lightning three times before you have a chance of hitting the lottery.
Yeah.
It happens a lot more than you think.
Yeah. That just kind of freaked me out a little bit.
In regards to weather and communications, another critical tool is that Garmin InReach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what most people are using. So my buddy had that. He had that all connected, the service on and all those kinds of things. And he was able to use that system to request weather reports. So he could hit that, and then usually within a few minutes we'd have a weather report. And it was good to plan for, like, temperatures. But it would talk about rain, like it's going to rain at noon or whatever. Mm-hmm. It may or may not. And it might be at 2. It might be at 10. You know, it's kind of like around here, but they really can't predict these little pop-up storms.
Sure.
But you'd be hiking, and you could see them. And you might hear a little bit of thunder or whatever, and you could see it, and you're like, man, that's coming. I know it's coming. Yeah. And then it would come, and it would hit for 20 minutes.
And be gone.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it'd be sunny again.
Yeah. And you just like pulled out your rain stuff quick or what?
So,
I mean, I guess nothing's quick when you're like then unsnapping, taking off your...
Talking about what I was saying earlier about how critical it is to keep stuff from getting wet. It's so critical because one, it's chilly and that makes things colder.
And
two, they don't dry as well. So, one of the things that I hadn't thought about that he told me you need to get is they call a pack fly. It's a rain cover. So whatever brand of pack you have, the manufacturer most likely makes a rain cover for it. You can just find a generic one, they work. But it just, you know, goes over the pack. It's kind of like, you know, got stretchy edges. It'll have a tie, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That and a raincoat. Those two things were lifesavers for me.
Oh, of course.
Because we were getting so much rain.
Yeah.
So we'd be hiking. We'd see that storm coming in. Maybe we start getting a little bit of sprinkles. We'd stop, pull our pack fly out, cover the pack. Put the rain jacket on, get your hood up, and keep hiking. Then the only thing that got wet was that rain fly, the cover, and your jacket.
Yeah.
Everything else was dry.
And the technology is so awesome. It does repel the water.
100%.
You know, so.
Yep. Yeah.
But like your pants didn't get wet? Or those were kind of waterproof?
Yeah, those pants that I had, I mean, that's, again, every single piece of this is so critical.
Okay.
But the pants were next level. Prana, P-R-A-N-A. P-R-A-N-A, I think is the brand that I got recommended by my buddy. That's what he had. They did a great job of repelling water. They get a little bit wet, but not bad at all. And also in regards to wetness and staying dry, the leg gaiters, the boot gaiters.
Yep.
So I had the ones from Outdoor Research that come up to your knees. So those would tie to your boots. You know, they'd go in through your strings, your shoe strings.
Yep.
And then they'd wrap around your ankle and they'd come all the way up your calf.
Yeah.
And that would keep that lower leg completely dry when you're walking through snow, when you're walking through wet grass, you know, whatever the case may be. Those were huge.
I was thinking of those when we were on our pheasant hunt last year.
Yeah.
I'm like, God damn it, I've always wanted that. I need to invest in some of those.
You're going to have to like show Andy some pictures or, I don't know. I think just like the get up itself, you explaining it, I do think, I mean, no one could just go do this without fully you prepped. How many months did you really think through all of this and prep? 5 months?
So
six?
My brother-in-law, he asked me about this
Years ago, right?
It was probably a year ago. I mean, a couple of years ago, he did ask me about it. I didn't go last year, but then it came back around. He's like, hey, I want to go again this year. Here's where I'm going. You want to go, you know, whatever. So we start talking about it and probably, I don't know, 6-7 months out.
Okay. So there was a lot,
you know,
more
we met, he laid out all of his stuff. I mean, if you're going to do this, definitely recommend to find a good mentor, you know, someone that's been through it because you can afford a couple of small mistakes, but when you're up there on the mountain, you can't have those mistakes.
Yeah.
You got to be prepped. So he laid all of his stuff out. I took very good notes. I started researching stuff right away. I had enough time to be able to find the best deals on things, find closeout stuff, you know, order from multiple websites, all these kinds of things. So I just, I kind of matched his gear list and then did some of my own research on some things. Him and I had a lot of back and forth. Hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? You know, and you just, you obviously, and as he says, you know, he continues to dial it in every year to get better and better at it. But I felt like we were so prepared, and it was because we had so much pre-work done.
Yeah.
And it made the hunt. I mean, you were able to just enjoy the hunt. You didn't have to worry about, am I going to be good here? Am I going to be good there? You know, whatever.
We're going to get wet. No, you got your fly or whatever.
Yeah. And there really isn't anything that you thought you needed that you didn't have or you could have just left behind.
I don't think so. There was a couple of things that we brought that I didn't use, but it was only because the circumstances didn't present themselves.
Oh.
And the circumstance could have very well presented itself.
You want to be prepared.
Like what would have that been? Like some kind
there
of
was things
flint
like,
or something?
Yeah, like as an example. Yeah, like I brought you know, a pack to start fires. You know, that it'll start fires if it's wet or anything. You know, it's got all that kind of stuff.
And you just didn't.
There was actually a burn ban, so we couldn't have fires anyway. But if we had gotten into some kind of scenario where we needed a fire for survival, you know, I had that. Couple of tools. You know, I brought a like an all-purpose tool, like a what do you got, like a Leatherman style.
I was gonna say,
Yep. Didn't need that, but you know, it was there. Could have very well ran into a situation where I needed it.
Sure.
Lots of those kinds of things, you know, that were in the pack. My buddy that I was hunting with kept saying that, you know, he hears quoted, you know, ounces equal pounds. So every ounce was critical because the packs are freaking heavy. So you're really having to weigh those things. Like, is there a good chance I'm going to need this or not? You know.
Now, right. did Matt's pack start out as heavy as yours? Mm-hmm. Were you guys about the same?
Okay. He was a little bit lighter.
He had a bow and all that stuff.
He was heavier because he was carrying that, but his pack in general was lighter because he's just more advanced in this.
Okay.
Like, so like my tent, as an example, was like a little over 5 pounds all in. His was like under 2, I think.
Oh.
So it was probably more expensive, but...
Yeah, yeah. And he at one time, he had a heavier tent, but he's worked towards like, no, I like this better or that better or whatever, you know.
I was wondering if you guys were in the same tent up there.
No.
About you guys.
No. It wasn't Brokeback Mountain.
You don't have any good tent stories?
I do have a one good tent story.
Oh. All right, let's hear this. Or do I want to hear this?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. So we were, most of what we were hunting was wildfire ground. It was a wildfire in 21, I think. 2021, something like that.
Okay.
So it had been like 4 years where this wildfire had come through the mountain. So there's all these standing pine trees. They're all burned up. You know, the ground's starting to grow a little bit, green grass and things like that. And the animals really like it. We saw a ton of mule deer. They love it. And then obviously the elk in there and some other wildlife. But you don't want to camp in that stuff because all these trees are dead.
Yeah.
And there's dead trees on the ground all over the place. So at any time, one of these things falls over, especially at night if you get a big wind.
Dead.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
And to his credit, he was really big on that. He was always looking like, we can't stay here. We can't stay there. This is too risky. You know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
So we hike out of the wildfire ground and get in over to where there's some, a little bit more pasture. There's cattle up there too, in a lot of the area.
Yes.
Yep. The ranchers, you know, let their cattle just free roam. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of in this area where these cattle tend to be. It's very grassy. There's thick pine trees. So we get into like this area of thick pine trees, we kind of get in the middle of it. We've got good cover, whatever. We pitch the tents. It's just getting dark. Eat dinner, whatever, get in there. Go to bed. Sleeping the first couple of days was really shitty.
I bet.
Yeah.
Sounds horrible.
The sleeping bag is strange to get used to. It's a mummy-style bag.
Yeah, so you can't move
around. You can't move your arms. Yet the only hole you have is your face.
I mean, how cold is it? Like 30 degrees?
Yeah, it was about 30.
Oh,
You're that's laying, you have a sleeping pad that you blow up. You're laying on this thing. It's about the same size as your sleeping bag.
Yeah.
So you have no movement left to right. You'll fall off of it. You know, so it's weird. But after a couple of days, you start getting used to it. So this was like day 3 or something like that. I'm finally starting to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I fell asleep hard. I was out cold. I wake up to a freaking stampede. I hear blowing past my tent and grunting and shit. And I'm like, it startles me awake, and I hear they're running. I'm like, oh, it's got to be those fucking cows. And I was just like, okay, I'm just going to let it be. They're still making a bunch of noise. I can hear them snorting and stuff. I kind of fall back asleep. I wake up again to what sounds like something sleeping next to my tent. I can just hear it heavy breathing.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, God, this is getting freaky. And it's and when you're in the mountains, man, it's like I've never been anywhere that's more quiet.
Yeah, isn't that something? I love the quiet.
Yeah. So at night, you're not hearing bugs. You're not hearing the, you know, these.
I'm like, there's no crickets?
Yeah,
nothing?
There's none of that was going on. It's just dead quiet and pitch black.
Mm-hmm.
And you're hearing snorting.
I'm hearing like deep breathing.
Oh.
Yeah. 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 And I'm like, it's got to be a cow. It's got to be a cow. Don't, you know, just chill out, whatever. So I keep trying to fall asleep. I'm not falling asleep. And then finally I kind of do again. Then I wake up again to like crunching, like with teeth, like it's eating something. And I'm like, I can't take this shit anymore. This has got to be a cow. I look at my watch. It's like 1:30 in the morning. Get up. The problem with these tents is, you know, you've got a rain cover on your tent.
Yeah.
So you don't have any windows or anything. Like it's, you can't see.
Yeah, yeah.
So you, it's this weird feeling that like they can see you, but you can't see them, whatever it is. Yeah. You don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And you cannot move quietly because everything you're sleeping in is loud.
Yeah. And you're tight. You're in
tight. You're tight.
Quarters.
Yep. You got to undo the zipper. That's loud. I got a zipper on my sleeping bag. I undo that. I've got a zipper on my tent. Then I've got a zipper on the rain fly. So I'm doing all that. And I'm like, you know, my position's blown at this point. Whatever this is, it's either got me or I just, hopefully I'm lucky.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Right.
You've been gotten.
Yeah. So I've got a headlamp. That's another critical tool to have with you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely critical. You really couldn't do anything without it. Put my headlamp on. I get out of there. I got this thing on and I go out and I look. And from like me to that wall, so for people who aren't watching this, we're talking about less than 6 feet probably. I look outside the tent, cow's just standing there staring at me, deer in the headlights.
Oh, mm-hmm. Fuck.
And he probably can't really see me because there's this bright headlight coming at him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's just crunching his teeth, you know, he's just
chewing his cud.
Yep. And in between us is this dead tree like laying down. And I'm yelling at him, get out of here, get out of here. And he's just looking at me like, nah. I ain't going anywhere, dummy.
Yeah.
So I reach down to the tree and I bust a stick off of it and I throw it at his ass. And then he goes running. He takes off out of there. And then the rest of the night, I didn't hear him. I finally got some sleep.
And no one else woke up?
No, I could hear my buddy in his tent snoring.
Just snoring. He didn't give a shit. Yeah.
I mean, I guess you're that freaking tired. I'm surprised you heard it. It had to have been because, like you said, it was just breathing right outside your tent.
It takes a little bit to get, at least for me, to get comfortable because you're very vulnerable out there and you're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
You're in a tent that you can't get out of very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If something comes up on you, You don't stand a chance.
Yeah.
So you're lucky you didn't get stampeded.
Probably. I mean, as far as that goes, we were in a pretty good spot, but
no. But cows love to just rub on stuff. You know, if there's something out there, they're
sure.
curious.
Yeah.
It also, that story is kind of a case in point where that's a dumbass domesticated animal.
Yeah.
That doesn't really shouldn't be out there, and if it is out there, something's gonna get it. You know,
well, and I was surprised about that not more of them, you know, did get taken. As we were walking around, we found some bones and stuff.
There's shrinkage that happens when big time ranchers lease out that type of ground, and that happens up in our neck of the woods, you know, those big old bluffs over top of the river. You just in the spring you kick x amount out there, hundreds, you know, 400 out there, and you expect, okay, we're hoping to get 390 back.
Oh, you know, really? Sure. Oh, you're expecting to lose?
Yeah. Broken legs on that type of ground, predators, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, lightning.
Sure.
I guess I just thought maybe the state owned that. I didn't
state
think
does
that,
own it.
Yeah.
But then they lease it to millionaires that can afford it.
Oh.
To let their animals run on it.
I see.
Big ranchers.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And we were at a reservoir. I can't remember what it's called, but the reservoir was like only at a quarter of its capacity.
Yeah.
But, the cattle would go back and forth from that reservoir. You could see them, you know, where they go down and get a drink, and then they'd go back up into the hills and eat grass.
Was your guys' plan to kind of use the cattle as cover? Because I've seen that, too, on different elk hunting shows and things of that nature where they kind of stay close to the cows, and because they're so noisy and obnoxious, the elk kind of get used to that dumbass noise and you can kind of hide.
Oh, that's actually
it.
A good idea. I didn't think about that.
We, you know, at first, and it was kind of good and kind of bad that we didn't know, you know, what we didn't know. We had some like preconceived notions, some things that seemed like they made sense. And one of them was that these cows, like these wild animals, are not going to run with these cows.
Yeah.
Like if there's cows, they're going to run them off. That's what we expected. So we were trying to hunt away from them.
Yeah.
The first confirmed elk that we saw was in an area that was about 50 yards from cattle.
Yeah.
So they didn't seem to care at all. Mm-hmm. Which again, like I said, we went up there thinking that it's going to be these cattle are going to be a problem. They weren't. Where we saw most of the elk was much further out than what the cattle would go to, mm-hmm. but they didn't seem to negatively affect the wild animals.
So to your point in some of the videos, I guess that makes sense. Like, mm-hmm.
yeah, you can use them. Yeah, the cattle is a little bit of cover to get closer.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess we've talked about a ton of things and you really haven't talked much about seeing elk. So you heard them.
Yeah. So that was another thing. Like if we were to go back next year and we go to the same unit, one of the most satisfying things was how much we learned about that area and about hunting these animals in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, day one, we picked a spot where we thought would be good. You know, you're told, hey, they're way at the top. You know, they haven't come down yet. The weather hasn't come, you know, whatever. So we picked this spot. We hike out there. We only had a couple hours to hike. We camped at the bottom of the mountain. Which, by the way, in regards to the animals, I feel like the animals up there are very different than the animals that we see here in regards to, like, their relationship with humans. And it's probably because they don't see very many of them.
Mm.
You know, the animals here are flighty. They're spooky. They're taking off as soon as they see you. Some of the animals there are not like that at all.
Really?
Well, you're talking a lot of mule deer, right?
There was a lot of mule deer, yeah.
Their defense is... You know, we're just going to stay a hillside away from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not
okay
up to rifles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense.
We saw a mule deer one day. You know, we're just hiking the peak, this ridge. And I mean, we get 30 yards. We kind of come around this edge of these aspens. Mm-hmm. And there she is. And she pokes her head out and she's just staring at us. And I mean, we're 30 yards from her.
Yeah.
And we're continuing to push. And she's just standing there looking at us,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And we were stalking a bull. We knew there was a bull up there. So we're trying to not freak her out so that she runs him off.
Yeah,
so we're trying to get her to easily, like, come on, can you get out of the way, you know?
You don't want her to blow out of there.
Yeah. But what I was getting at was the first evening up there when we stayed, there was this little, like, it kind of looked like a ferret, except bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it would have been.
Martin?
Maybe. Something like that, maybe. Yeah. You know, long tail, long body.
Yeah.
We were down in this kind of creek area. There's watershed area. There was no water, but lots of rocks.
Mm-hmm.
We went down to where we were going to pitch a tent, and this guy pops up, and he's super interested in us.
Yeah.
And he's a good-sized animal.
Yeah, they're curious. Really?
He was not running away.
Yep.
And that was night one. I'm like, oh, this motherfucker's going to be in my tent. He's going to be messing with us, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
He ended up kind of making his way, but he wasn't scared at all. But anyway, so back to my story. So we camp, we get up that morning, we start scaling this mountain. And I'm talking about we're scaling this thing. Like the incline
was vertical,
such that if you're standing up, you just barely lean over and you're touching the face of this thing climbing up it.
Did you think you were going to fall back?
But a couple of times, yes. Very much so. If you were to lean back at all, your pack was so heavy on the back, you'd tumble over backwards. Yeah. So you're just holding on to trees. You're putting your feet on trees to try to get up this thing. So we get up this thing. We make our way. We get all the way to the top of it. It's freaking beautiful. We don't see a single sign of an animal the whole way up there.
Mm-hmm.
So again, what I was getting to was like how much we were learning as we were hunting. So we realized, okay, this is not the spot. Stories we've heard, they're not over here.
Right.
So then we pick another spot. So you start doing that in these units, and we start hunting these other areas. And over the course of 3-4 more days, we really zeroed into where we saw the most activity.
Mm-hmm.
And on the last evening, we're like, all right, what are we going to do now? You know, like we don't have any guarantees, but here's the things that we've learned. And up to then, we had seen a couple of animals. We had walked up on and spooked a couple of elk, but too far away to shoot. We had heard bugling. We had chased some bugles, just hadn't gotten anything, you know, close and in range. So we're like, we found a wallow. You're familiar with elk wallow?
Yeah, where they like to wallow around in the mud hole.
Yeah, so yeah. We found a couple. We just walked up on them. Uh-huh. Super cool. I've got some pictures I'll show you. But it's literally just like, it's kind of...
It's like a mud bath?
Yeah. So it's like, it's at this point where like the hills come together down at the bottom. So it, underneath that little valley there is like wet ground, and they find it. It's not like a running stream or anything, but they find it and they just dig it out.
Yeah.
And it makes this little pond, this little puddle like the size of this table. Huh. And then they've dug all around it, and it's just a big muddy pit. And they just get in it and they roll in it and they stomp in it and they do all this kind of stuff. So you can see it. You're like, this is elk activity here. Plus, there's little to no water on this mountain.
Yeah.
So they're going to come back here. So we say, all right, well, that night we've done a lot of walking. We say, all right, that night what we're going to do is we're going to go a little bit more like kind of what we're used to doing back home, whitetail hunting.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go sit on this hillside. We're going to spot that wallow, and we're going to wait for a few hours and see what happens. We're going to take a chance that they're going to come in.
Yeah.
We're going to call them. You know, they're going to call whatever. So we get down there, and within about an hour, this elk starts bugling up on the hillside, up on the ridge, probably 300-400 yards from us. We can't see him. He's bugling so much that I swore it was another hunter. I'm talking to my buddy, and I'm like, that's another hunter. Like,
he's doing it too often, yeah.
I mean, and he's just getting after it, and making all kinds of noises. He's like, man, I think that's an elk. And I was like, I don't know how that's an elk, dude. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
So we stay quiet. He moves. We don't see him move, but then we can hear him over here, you know, to the left a little bit, bugling a little bit more. Then next thing we know, another one comes in behind us, and he starts come walking down the hill that we're on. And we're on the right. You're always checking wind.
Yeah.
So you've got this little powder deal you squeeze, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing where the wind goes, which direction it's going. So we're always staying, you know, downwind from these guys. So we're sitting just right. This guy starts coming in, and we're watching him. And if he stayed on his path, that was a dead bull.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to come right into my buddy's sights, and he would have shot him. But probably, I don't know, 150 yards out, something like that. He just kind of slowly makes a turn, and he just keeps making his way across the hillside. And there was nothing we could do.
Yep.
You know, it was just one of those. But that night, the point is that everything that we had done all week, all the scouting we had done, all the learning we had done, all came together to where we found the right spot. I bet if we had two or three more days and we stayed with that style, we would have zeroed in on
just them. Stayed over top that wallow.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Dang. That's
still pretty cool. Pretty cool experience.
Yeah. Yeah, it was wild. And then the next morning, we went out kind of in the same area, tried to hit them real early in the morning, didn't have any activity, and that was that. Yeah, then we hiked back to the truck and kind of packed up. But
I mean, and you couldn't really have stayed much longer because you guys didn't plan for food.
Yeah, when we left, I had a little over a day of food left.
Okay.
So there wasn't...
I mean, do you ever hear stories? I mean, both of you, I guess I don't hear that a ton, that people are out there longer than a week with a pack? I mean, could you even pack out for 2 weeks? It would have been too heavy.
You probably could. I mean, at that point...
Or would you just put stuff in your truck?
Well...
Yeah, you could. You could go back to the truck and replenish. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, in the old boys, you know, it's called deer camp. They'd actually set up just a big old camp, you know, a big old canvas tent. You know, they would have a stove inside it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you wanted to get hardcore, you could, that could be like your little base camp out there. And you can stay out there 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Okay.
So, it's kind of funny though. A lot of people compare elk hunting to turkey hunting.
Yeah.
Just because of the communication.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking a lot about turkey hunting when I was up there.
And it makes a lot of sense. And you're talking about, that's not a bull, that's another hunter. You know, that's something that happens a lot in turkey hunting. You're like, two hunters end up calling each other.
Yeah.
But it reminded me of a few years ago where I was calling and I got the attention of a hen, and this hen wouldn't shut up, and she sounded so terrible. I'm like, you need to shut up, lady. You're screwing this up for me over here. And she just sounded sickly and old, you know. I'm like, I'm making this beautiful call, you know. And she's just over there ruining it, you know. It's kind of funny.
It makes me wonder, you know, and I've heard a little bit on this in regards to that topic of people saying that we kind of overcomplicate some of the calling.
Yeah.
And my buddy was doing all the calling. He's, you know, he had the bugle, he had the mouthpiece, you know, he had been practicing all that stuff. I had a little hand call that I was going to use if we had something coming close, but he just felt like, man, I don't know if my calls are good enough, you know, whatever. And he's kind of learning it. And I'm like, dude, the stuff that I'm hearing, it sounds the same to me.
Right.
So I know, I think you're right on. Yeah. And especially like that day that I heard that we heard the one going crazy, and I was sure that was fake.
Yeah.
You know? And you never saw any hunters, so it's not like that was fake. That was a real one.
There was other trucks down where we parked our truck.
Oh, so there was a
couple of other people hunting somewhere.
But not like you passed them on the mountain or anything. Mm-mm. It wasn't that congested.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
No.
But seeing that happened to Garrett and Carson. And their Idaho hunt, the same type of scenario, not quite as rugged as what you guys are doing, but it was mule deer and they're archery hunting. But they ran into a couple guys on the mountainside.
Oh, they did?
And then they end up being buddies. Those guys actually came and turkey hunted on our ranch.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, they kind of teamed up on the mountainside there.
I guess that could, you would think it would be a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there was, we talked to a couple of the guys down in the parking lot, and they were good dudes. Like, you know, they shared a little bit of information. They had been up there.
Yeah.
You know, nice guys.
They hadn't gotten anything, though.
No. I mean, everybody was on the same team. That's another thing. Like, going into it, we knew that the success rate in those units, they publish them.
Pretty low.
Very low.
Yeah.
Like 10% or less, you know, of the people that get tags actually drag one out of there.
But why is that attractive then?
And that's the thing about all this is that, like, this is not about taking the animal.
Oh, this is the old Roman. This is the Odyssey. This is a call to action for all men.
Yeah. if you take an animal out of there, I mean, that's just like, that's next level. Like,
yeah.
It's more than icing on the cake, but it's that's not really what you're there for, you know?
Yes, but I guess I just would think like a higher percentage success rate area would be more attractive is what I'm saying.
There's not a lot of them.
Oh.
And most of them have that lower success rate and it's not because they're a bad area. It's because it's just so hard to do.
So then when you do it and accomplish it, it's like, holy shit, I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is some places that you can go that there's like some guaranteed kills pretty much, but you're not hunting like this,
right?
And they're going to cost you a lot of money.
Like, because they drop
someone,
you,
someone
like
manages,
airlift
them.
You in and say, hey, there it is.
Well, I
kind
don't
of
know.
Like a
I
staged
don't know if it's
hunt.
Exactly like that, but yeah, kind of. And there, you know, there would be guides, or you know, they know where these animals are.
And not that's bad, but that's just totally not.
It's just a different,
what you want to do.
It's a different thing. Yeah, this was about as raw as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going somewhere that you've never been. You have no guide. You're only working off of maps that you've looked at, and then you're just working off of what you're learning every day to try to dial in. And things start happening. I was telling one of my buddies about this the other day. You start like your senses and stuff kind of start changing. Mm-hmm. So my buddy that I was hunting with, he was telling me about how, because he had shot a bull last year, and about how these things stink. He was like, they got this smell to them, man. You know, and they get in those wallows.
Yeah,
they're
musty.
And they piss in those wallows, and they, you know, roll around in them and all this. But they have that musty smell.
Yep.
Ew.
So we're hiking along. It was a rainy day. We're hiking along, and I started smelling it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you smell that? And he's like, no. And I was like,
you do have a sniffer. He's got a good sniffer.
Something is coming at us, and we're walking into the wind.
Yeah.
I'm like, 100% the smell has changed.
Yeah.
We get just a few more minutes into it and kind of crest this hill. There's a cow elk and she takes off.
Mm-hmm.
100% smelled her.
Yeah.
I never would have.
Right.
If it was today and we walked down in the woods. No.
You have a good smell.
I mean, but it's the thing is that like things start changing. Like you start looking at things differently. Those like primal
instincts.
Yeah. Start coming back. You know, you start getting used to sleeping in the tent.
Sure.
You know, being dirty.
Just
being having less water, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I did not lose, like, in fact, I got sharper. Even though I was consuming less calories and I was burning, I was consuming 25% of the water I normally consume.
Yeah.
But everything was getting sharper.
Yeah. Well, and you said dirty. So like we hardly ever could talk, but once in a while he'd get to a peak.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, and he ended up like being able to send a text, and I was like, oh, if you could FaceTime, whatever. So he did. And it was like on a Thursday, like
he looked like a mountain man.
I know. I was like, you're still in the same clothes. He's like, yeah, I've only changed my socks. I was like, oh,
that,
shit.
Yeah, you can't change. You can't carry all that with you.
That cow elk too is like, I smelled those guys too.
Right. Yeah.
He actually did say, you did say, oh, I can smell myself.
Oh, sure.
And I'm like, okay, that's.
I promise you that my sense of smell got heightened after a couple of days in.
Well, think about how your body is so quick to react and kind of take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
I just think of, we used to every once in a while get a real cedar tree for Christmas when mm-hmm. we were little. And that first day it would just hit you and like, whoa. But day two, you don't even really notice it.
Smell it anymore.
But everybody that would come out to the house like, oh my God, you guys got a real cedar tree in here, you know. But your body will just adjust.
Yeah.
We had one other scenario on smell. It was probably, I think it was like 3 days in, maybe 4 days in. And we're moving, and we had been stocking a bull that we heard, and we thought we were moving in the right direction. And both of us at the same time, you smell that? Like we both looked at each other, and we're being mm-hmm. quiet because we don't think we're too far from the thing.
Yeah.
And it was much stronger than when we saw that cow.
Yeah.
We took a few more steps, and we found a fresh pile of droppings.
Mm.
And it was coming directly from that.
Right.
And you could just pick right up on it.
Huh.
And you could almost follow that sense of smell, because we would walk for like 30, 40 yards and it would be like, mm-hmm. I don't smell it anymore. We'd move over here.
Yeah.
I can smell it again. Yeah. You start getting in that mode.
Yeah. And I just,
dang, that's crazy.
Think about that like times a thousand, like a tiger. Or
exactly,
something. Like,
man.
Like
yeah.
The, like
yeah.
their senses.
That's exactly what I was
there.
Thinking about.
Wow.
Because they were talking about how effective, you know, these animals' sense of smells are.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about that, like, okay, I can see why.
Yeah.
One day we were sitting on a hillside, and we're just watching this area where we think this bull had gone and where he was bedding.
Mm-hmm.
So we were kind of waiting. Hopefully he was going to come out. And after about an hour, I'm pretty sure 90%. It was a coyote. It was a big damn coyote. But when I first saw it, it was running probably 150 yards. I mm-hmm. thought it was a mountain lion, like the way it was moving.
Yeah.
I got my binoculars on. And I even told my buddy, I'm like, there's a fucking mountain lion over there. And he's like, you got to be kidding me. And I zoomed in on it. We're looking. I'm like, no, it's a wolf. A big, furry, mm-hmm. fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started making its way towards us. And then we're like, no, that's probably a coyote. Just I mean, it looks like a coyote. But we were upwind from or downwind from him, so mm-hmm. you know he couldn't smell us. Well, then he made his way around the backside of us,
mm-hmm.
and you could tell he got the scent, and then he ran.
He bolted.
He was just kind of trotting through.
Yep.
Once he got that scent, and he was probably 100 yards from us.
Oh, he smelled you guys.
Took off.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Did you? Very you never out. Doused yourself in anything?
No.
Other mm-hmm. than your no. own BO.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of that stuff, it just doesn't even matter. It's all about the wind.
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
Yeah. So, Andy, he had to take a poop shovel.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess that's another thing people might not
weird,
think.
That's weird, though.
I mean, I guess everybody
not
would
weird,
think about
but,
it at some point. But
okay, but so my sister and I were talking about this yesterday because I did her hair.
Mm-hmm.
And she was asking her husband, like, okay, so I guess in my head, I figured you just dug a little hole in the dirt mm-hmm. and then sat your ass on it. She was like, no, I made him show me.
What?
You used a tree?
So
like,
it was,
as like...
So a lot of first of all, there's a couple scenarios. One,
okay.
Like most people, you've got to go to the, you've got to go to the bathroom in the morning.
Why?
I mean... I'm not saying you have to. It's that your body is telling you, hey, it's time to go to the bathroom.
I got you. Okay.
The morning is cold and wet.
Okay.
Like, even if it didn't rain, which most likely it did rain, it's very dewy.
Yeah, the morning
So, again, you're trying not to get wet. You're not going to sit your ass on the ground.
Oh, I guess I just thought, like, dry dirt.
And it's too cold. So, you've got this little, like, shovel tool. The one that I got, which I guess is the most popular one, because we were looking at all this, it's called the Deuce. So it's this little, like, I don't know, you can see the size like this. People can't see it, but it's really small. Thin aluminum,
mm-hmm.
very lightweight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you dig that hole with it. Also, the mountain dirt is totally different. Number one, there's a lot of rocks.
Is it red?
Yeah.
There was some red tones here and there.
Oh.
But where we were at, it was like in the woods.
Pretty rocky.
It's very thick, like mossy, like peat moss kind of style, like whatever. So you're digging in that stuff, like you're just pulling out chunks of organic matter. It's not like soft dirt.
Yeah. Oh.
But anyway, you dig that, and then you dig that hole. You position yourself where you can hold on to a tree and squat back and not
so fall.
So
you're doing like a wall sit, is what you said. Kind basically, of. Yeah, you're holding on.
Yeah.
I did not imagine that. Just, Andy's aiming, rolling his eyes. But like, it's just something I didn't even think about. I just figured you just set your tush on the dirt. And
And that's another thing. You got to ration.
Cracks
like,
me up. Did you cover it then?
Yeah. So like what happens if you don't, first of all, you can't bring a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So you can't bring like a big old roll of toilet paper or anything. A very limited amount of stuff.
Yeah.
And then what happens if you run out of toilet paper? Like,
you got leaves.
Bad shape. Yeah. There wasn't really leaves. The only trees up there were aspen trees, and those leaves are like the size of like a quarter.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit bigger than a quarter.
Yeah.
So you don't have leaves.
So you're
better. Yep. I mean, well, there's been great technological advances there. Dude wipes. There's a lot of different types of dude wipes out there.
Yeah, you brought some wipes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
So, but again, more space, more weight. So you're figuring out, what do I need? What do I not need?
Yeah. I would definitely have a couple packages of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah, right.
And you brought little coffee, like a...
Yeah, I had my morning, instant coffee. I'd put that in there.
So that's kind of a luxury. Maybe some people would be like, no, I'm not bringing that. Yep, so, totally. Yeah, I guess. But that was what you needed.
Well, I guess one of the things, I mean, I could talk about this for hours and hours, and we're about out of time, but one of the biggest things for me when I was planning was trying to figure out how can I plan some comforts that aren't going to cost me a lot as far as weight and time. Space.
Yeah. And that was one.
So something like coffee, it's easy. It's a small little to-go pack, one-time use, powder. You know, you boil your water in your jet boil, you put that thing in there, you got a cup of coffee.
Yep.
It's just a nice little morning comfort. It's warm, kind of gives you a sense of home. It puts you in that, those kinds of things like keep you in that mind frame.
Oh, I don't know if there's anything better than a crisp morning and a hot coffee to go with.
Yeah.
You would totally do that. You're a coffee guy.
Of course.
Yeah, I
do that every morning.
Yeah.
Here.
So. But you've never elk hunted, Andy?
Not like that. No.
Okay.
No, I've never actually been on an elk hunt.
Would you do that?
Oh, of course. No,
I mean, but you've thought about it.
It's quite the time commitment, you know?
Is. Yeah.
But I'm jealous. I mean, just
you'll
for me,
do it.
The biggest thing that I would get out of that is the detox from phones and bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Like every day I'm taking a long form piece of content and cutting it up into little form, repackaging the long form, whether I want to or not, I'm on Twitter, I'm on X, I'm on YouTube, Facebook, I'm on this shit.
Yep.
X amount of hours, and it is my job, but it doesn't matter. It still sucks.
Yeah.
Like it gets old. And then I, last stat I heard was something like 80% of all traffic, whether it's Facebook or whatever, is just bots anyway. So what the fuck? What am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get fake views from bots from Russia.
Right.
And that's how I'm basing my day. My day to day is like, I hope bots from Russia view my short form content.
Yeah. And then like, fools some people who think my stuff's important, and then I can sell advertising.
Yeah, right. And then fool them. Yeah. Like, I'd much rather just tag along your brother-in-law and see what he's doing, Hey, there's an elk there.
Yeah.
Hey, go shit in a hole. All right. Yeah.
It's so true, though, because I was talking to a couple girlfriends, and after seeing and hearing some of this, I've actually heard some new stuff today. I mean, I think I would love to do that. There's no way I could carry 50. No way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I kept thinking 25, but we talked to a baseball mom, and I never knew, again, to your point, that she did that with her kids and her husband. She's like, we do this. And I carry about 30, 35. And I'm like, damn, you're little like two. Okay. Well,
we can give you a soft open to that. If you want to take her on a deer hunt up in Boyd County.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can give her an experience. You were on the side-by-side that the grasshoppers got you on.
Oh, God, is there going to be grasshoppers?
Imagine just hiking, from the farm.
No, I think that would be awesome.
Yeah. And Ashley knows where all the blinds are and where to go.
Doing all that.
So, yeah, you get good with even if it's the second weekend or one of the doe-only late season.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking muzzleloaders all December, and it's cold. But I mean, we cheat. There's a little Mr. Buddy heater in the blind waiting for you. You just got to get there.
Yeah, exactly.
But that would be a nice soft open for you.
I think it would be fun. I mean, obviously, it's for certain people and not for others. Big hunts like this, elk hunt, you know, what you're talking about, all the things. So
even the watered down version like that, and you get out to your blind and you put a book in your backpack. So now you're reading a book out in nature, just killing a day.
Yep.
I mean, I want to be there right now.
Yeah.
What I mean?
One of the most enjoyable days we had was one of our last days. We hiked out early in the morning, hunted, and then you don't get a lot of activity midday, you know?
Yeah.
So we knew we had some time to kill. So we hiked up to a peak where we could just see everything. Our tents had gotten wet the night before, so we repitched our tents so everything would dry. Mm-hmm. Just popped up, you know, a seat, had lunch, and we were there for like 3 or 4 hours doing nothing.
Right.
And you enjoyed
it. Just chatting it up, looking over the mountain, looking down in the valley, looking for animals on our binoculars, you know, whatever the case may be. The weather was great. It was sunny. It was, you know, there was enough warmth. And that's just phenomenal to just sit there and do nothing.
Yeah. Just like I said, the detox, just the quiet.
Yeah.
Like, I love the quiet, you know, and you know, when you're out in Boyd County up on those high hills, there's noises, but they're like natural noises.
Yeah.
You know, it's meadowlarks, it's bugs, you know, and I don't know.
Just being one with nature, there is something to say for that. I mean, so what would be your biggest takeaway since we need to wrap up? I mean, I guess my question is, obviously you played this out in your head a lot before you left. Did it go as planned? Or it did? Okay.
Well, I mean, one thing for sure is that we prepared very well.
Yes.
And you absolutely have to be prepared. And that did us a lot of favors.
Okay.
So it made everything go pretty smooth overall.
So are you going to put in for a tag?
Yeah, I guess that's the million-dollar question.
We've talked about, you know, him and I talked a lot on the way back, like, all right, what's next year look like? What do we think? You know, blah, blah, blah. Because there's some other guys talking about maybe wanting to go. I'm not going to archery hunt. I don't have a bow. I'm not ready to get into that right now. There's a lot that goes into that. And when I get into those kinds of things, like I get into them.
And he goes all in.
Yeah. So I'm not going to do that. But I would be very interested in the muzzleloader week. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I got to look into the rules, but you have to hunt that open sights. So you still got to get in pretty tight with them.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, I was thinking about it, like, man, a muzzleloader carrying around on top of that pack that we're already carrying. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that goes into that. Yeah.
And it's cold, and you don't love cold.
Well, it was the week before we went.
Oh, it was the week before. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And, so every year is going to be different. I mean, it might be a really cold year. But to your question, like, will we go back? Most likely. I mean, we got all the gear now. The gear's not cheap. So if you're going to look at getting into this, you know, plan on
investing
a couple of bills easy.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money to get the good stuff. But it's worth it to get the good stuff that you can count on. But, you know, shop smart, because I found almost everything on sale or some kind of discount or some kind of clearance or whatever. Yeah. So give yourself time.
And you'll have
that,
it for years, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it'll last for a long time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
So, yeah, I think, I mean, awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Nice.
And I would, you know, it's not for everybody, but I think a lot of people would find out that it is for them. You know, you get out there and you get that experience.
It's like a little mini vacation, if nothing else.
It really is.
Backpacking, camping.
But there wasn't like a mental day that it was rough or that you wanted to quit or you wanted to give up. I feel like you're not gonna, but like you didn't have those thoughts of like, I guess I'm just thinking of when I walked, you know, you're tired, you're exhausted. No,
I didn't. I mean, I felt there was, you know, some times that I was missing home. I was wondering, like, what you and the kids were doing. You know, I was like, oh, I'm missing baseball. I wish I was at baseball right now, you know, or whatever. Yeah. But I knew, you know, what it was for, and it was, you know, it was still enjoyable.
Okay.
But from a physical standpoint, it was the most physical thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
But I've, this year, you know, had this new lease on health and, you know, taking care of myself and all these kinds of things. I was ready. Like, I had the strength. I had the stamina. Everything. It was fine. I was fine.
And you're okay.
Don't go out there unfit. I'll tell you that much.
So again, to your credit, you've lost like 30 some pounds. Yeah. Like that was what you needed. There's no way you could have done it in your old body.
Multiple times.
30 pounds?
Since January.
I told my buddy multiple times that if it was a year ago and we were out there, I was in the condition I was in a year ago, which I was in horrible condition.
No, you never.
Knowing what I am now,
yeah.
I don't think I would have made it. I would have made it, but we would have been nowhere near as effective as we were.
It wouldn't have been near as enjoyable.
We never had to like stop. Mm-hmm. Like
you didn't have to catch your breath.
No, you would have that. Yeah. Oh. Like we would hike, you'd hike some steep climbs.
Yeah.
And we would hike and we would stop for like a minute or two. Mm-hmm. I was watching on my watch all my vitals and it gives you your heart rate, you know, straight out of the gate. Mm-hmm. My resting heart rate's like 70, 75, maybe 80. When I was regularly hiking, I was 120 to 130. When we'd start hitting those big, steep hikes, mm-hmm. I was 160, 170. My watch was like flashing at me.
It's thinner air too. Yeah, like it's a lot of things are adding up on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're doing that for a sustained period of time.
Yeah.
The first couple of days, you know, I think with the elevation and the thin air, mm-hmm. I had headaches.
Sure.
And there was a couple of kind of nauseous type spells.
Like even car motors have a tough time when you get into that real thin air. It's like, Jesus Christ, motor is being impacted. Right. What am I?
Yep, yep. So you definitely got to plan for that stuff. But like I said, just don't go up there unfit or unhealthy.
No.
Because the mountain will win.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's all there is to it.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think this is interesting, and I like hearing all the stories, and I've seen some of the pictures, and it just sounds so fun to me, but I do like wilderness and being out also. So again, to your point, this may not be a podcast for everybody, this one, but those that listen to us and follow us a lot, I do feel like we'll love hearing how it went.
I'll post some photos and stuff on the like on Instagram and Facebook on the Stock and Rod page and the Farm Focused page for people to check out.
And Common Folk.
On Common Folk as well on Instagram, not on Facebook. But if you want to see some of that scenery or whatever. But honestly, it just doesn't do it. That's a common thing people say. Oh, don't do it justice.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
Oh, I know. Like we out in Yakima, Washington area, you know, Mount Rainier.
Yeah.
I've been up there snowmobiling a few times, like in the backwoods, rough stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a bunch of pictures on my phone, but like you said, that does not tell the story of what you're experiencing.
Someone who wasn't there looks at the photo and be like, wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
But you don't understand how
I know. And I did. I was like, wow, this is pretty, but you have the experience and the memories. And I think that's awesome. That's what you need.
No, it's fun. I appreciate being able to get involved in it. My brother-in-law getting me involved and
cool.
Looking forward to doing it again.
Yeah. You got to unhook and then come back to the real life and everything's still waiting for you.
For sure.
Get plugged back into the matrix.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Back in the matrix. Exactly.
He did.
Let's close it out with Barn Owl. Barnowl.tech. If you're looking for some cameras for your ranch, your property, your driveway, whatever the case may be, something you want to monitor, we use these for game cams as well. And Barn Owl's kind of posting some more stuff about the game cam usage. I mean, they're super effective for that. They just launched a new camera that has like real-time live view. So you can pull it up and you can just look at it.
Yeah.
You know, see what's going on, stream live out of that. You know, solar panels, if you want to add to them, battery life is not an issue. Cellular connectivity is not an issue. Where ours is at is in an area where I can't get my cell phone to connect, but the camera still sends photos out.
That solar panel's next level. I don't know who he's going through to get those. Those are awesome.
It totally works.
Yeah.
It totally works. The brand is Barn Owl. So if you go to barnowl.tech, you're looking for these kinds of devices, pick one up. Use the code FARMFOCUSED, all one word, and you get another 10% off. They've already got great deals on there anyway, but go ahead and use that. That'll help. Holiday season's coming up. These would be awesome gifts.
Sweet.
Yep. All right. Anything else?
No.
Guys, good?
Thanks for sharing.
All right, Mountain Man.
Yeah, exactly. He shaved, though. Well, you're getting a little bit
I got a little bit hurt. On our way, last thing, on our way back, you know, people think like, you think, what's going to be your first meal? Like, you got to be hungry. Like, what are you going to do? So we come out of the mountain and we get close to Denver and we're like, it's freaking time to eat, man.
Can we guess? You probably know, don't you?
I do know. What would you guess he would eat?
Cheeseburger.
Oh!
Nailed it. That's what we were talking about. We were like, we got to find a good burger place.
Hell yeah.
The best place we could find that was close on to the highway was Five Guys. So if you got a Five Guys around you, you know.
Perfect.
Just big, greasy, double cheeseburger. Yep,
there we go.
Fresh fries.
Yep.
Slammed it. I could have probably ate three of them. But that was a good way to get back into society. So.
Hell yeah.
But you went into the bathroom, you said, and washed your hands.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was thinking about. So you were talking about shaving and stuff. So I hadn't, that was another weird thing. I had not seen myself for over a week.
Oh, yeah.
There's no mirrors.
Right.
Of course. You don't look at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I went in the bathroom. You had to wash my hands because I hadn't washed my hands in a week either. And I'm like, well, I'm going to be eating this burger. So I put my hands down the sink. I look up in the mirror and I'm like, holy cow.
What happened?
I've got like blondish hair. Yeah, so my facial hair is too. Yeah. It was all dark brown. All of it. Yeah. My mustache, my beard, all of it. I just started taking hand soap and water and just scrubbing. And it was just running out of there, dark shit down into the sink.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You look a little dark when you FaceTime, but it was kind of hard to see because it was going in and out, but that would have been funny.
I can't imagine what people were thinking when they saw us before that.
Homeless.
Because it was lunchtime.
Homeless man.
Yeah, we came walking into this
and
restaurant.
Smells.
Yeah.
Did they ask you to leave the staff?
They probably wanted to.
You guys, okay, we got a spot for you in the corner there by the door.
My buddy was like, of course, we haven't showered for a week or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got his hat off. His hair's all a mess.
Sure.
He's still got some hair. I barely have any, so his is all a mess. We're wearing like dirty clothes. He's got like slip-on like Birkenstock sandals and socks. And people are looking at us like, what are these dudes doing? Here we go. And we're in like a Denver suburb, you know, which is like
a nice area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but they did have good cheeseburgers.
Nice. All right, good deal.
So anyway, anything else?
No.
All right, I'm going to close it out. We'll see you.
Later.